I'm going to start with a sugya about shofar, and from there move on to perhaps a discussion about matzah, about ner Chanukah, about lulav, and it's basically the same idea that underlies all these. I start by referring to a paragraph in the Sefer HaRei Kedem for the mitzvah shofar. And this you can find on page Yud Gimel. If anybody wants to photocopy it, please do. The Gemara assumes that shofar has to be kofuf. It has to be bent over. And the Gemara analyzes in Masechet Rosh Hashanah exactly on why this is so. Why do we need a shofar kofuf? And the Gemara answers, this is on Daf Chavav Amid Beis, Kama Dekayef Inshi Tfei Mali, that a person should be bent over, and that's a better position. So Rashi explains why. Why is it better to be bent over? Says Rashi, Kama Dekayef Inshi Bitfiloso, when a person is bent over in his tefillah, part of Kvushim La'aretz, and he's looking towards the earth, Tfei Adif. That's better. Mishum v'hoyu enai v'libi shav. Rashi quotes a pasuk that says that a person should be looking out of a sense of humility when he stands in front of the Shekhinah, bent in that position. Hilchot says Rashi v'Rosh Hashanah, meaning blowing shofar Rosh Hashanah, dilit tefillah, which is for the purpose of tefillah, is be'inon kfufim. We require kafuf. So it means that the shape of the shofar should reflect the shape of the person who's davening. Rashi seems to indicate here that Rosh Hashanah, the shofar is litfilah. It's for a kiyum tfilah. And therefore, Rashi says that has to be reflected not only in the posture of the person when he davens, but likewise in a mirror sort of image in the shape of the shofar itself. Since the shofar is litfilah, tfilah is kafuf, therefore the shofar should be kafuf. Now the question that we have to ask is, the Rishonim say that although it's great to have a shofar kafuf, and l'chatchila that's what we should look for, but it's not ma'akev. In other words, l'chatchila, that's what we want is a shofar kafuf. But b'di'eved, you could be yotze even if the shofar is not kafuf. However, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam in Perek Aleph, Milchus Shofar Alocha Aleph, writes that HaShofar SheToken Bo B'Rosh Hashanah Hu Keren HaKvasim HaKofuf. It's got to be Kofuf. And on that, the Ravid says, Omar Avram Hifriz Al Midosov. The Rama went too far. El Mitzvah B'Kofuf. It's very nice to have a Kofuf. But in Toka B'Shel Yael, Yael is a straight shofar, right from the Yael, is Yotza. And the Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam holds that kofuf is ma'akev. It's absolutely indispensable. Now, Rav Soloveitchik asks the following question. He says, how could it be that he's yotzei, I'm sorry, that according to the Rambam he's not yotzei if the shofar is straight and it's not kofuf? The Gemara says, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah we're flipping two dapim, forward to Daf Chav Chesav Aleph, Toka L'Shir, Yotza. And the Gemara says, Shvami no mitzvahs enom tzrichas kavana. So the man is blowing the shofar for some musical enjoyment, reverie, he's waking up his friends in the barracks on Rosh Hashanah, and he's Yotze the mitzvah. Was he mispalel? Where's the tefillah element? The Gemara says that the reason why you need a shofar kofuf is because of tefillah. And the Rambam writes that that kofuf is an absolutely indispensable requirement. So it seems that tefillah is the essence of shofar. If that be the case, how can be yotze in the case of tokel ashir? The last thing on his mind is tefillah. So here's where the Rav makes a distinction between the maisa hagavra and the cheftza. And that's what's relevant to our discussion today. As far as the Maisa Gavra is concerned, tefillah is not indispensable. You could be yotze in the midst of shofar even without tefillah. Taka l'shir yotze. However, the Chefta, the shofar, has to have the possibility of tefillah. In other words, the shofar itself has to lend itself to the possibility of tefillah, and therefore you require kaf if the Rambam holds that's likuva. And I wrote myself a note here on the side to show that perhaps the source for the Rambam is Ner Chanukah. The Gemara at the beginning of Perek Bamem Adlikin says Kovsa Ein Zokerklo. The final maskana is that if the candle immediately extinguishes, could be a minute after you lit it, you yotze, you don't have to rekindle it. And yet the Gemara says that a ner has to have a shear of Kadesh Yadlik Mishkiya Sachama Chitikla Regal Menashuk. The Rishonim say it's about a half hour. So the question is the following. If you need a hadlaka of a half hour, which would be kavsa, zakukla, then I would understand that the nair has to be able to be lit for a half hour. It has to have a shear of mishatikla, mishatishka kama, shatikla, mishu. But now we say no, kavsa ain't zakukla. It means all you need is a hadlaka, and if it goes out, that's fine. So why then does the nair have to have a shear of kadesh yadlik? And the answer is going to be exactly what the Rav says about shofar. That as far as the Maisa HaGavr is concerned, you yotzi with hadlaka, but the Shemin itself, as a Cheftza Shel Ner, has to lend itself to the full mitzvah of being a Ner Dolek for that half hour. And if this be the case, Rav Moshe, I thought that maybe I could understand a Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Matzah. The Mechaber paskins that if you take matzah and you cook it, that's called matzah mevusheles, is lo yotza. And in the same siman in Hilchas Matzah, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that bala matzah yotza. You take a piece of matzah, you swallow it immediately without chewing it up, you're yotza. So I don't understand. If bala matzah yotza, it means that you don't need te'ima. You don't have to taste the matzah. So why then, if I take matzah and I bake it, I cook it, I should say, I shouldn't bake it, it's already baked, but I cook it in a pot of water, is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins lo yotza because it doesn't have a tam of matzah. But he just finished telling me that I don't have to have a tam of matzah. Bala matzah yotza. So the Mishnah Berurah adds a few words here, and I think we can amplify it. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Ela debi'inan matzah haru'uya l'te'ima." In other words, the halach of te'ima is not halach in the Maisa Gavra. We don't care whether he actually tastes the matzah, but it's halach in the chefza of the matzah. The chefza of the matzah, in order to be matzah, has to have royal te'ima.
That's interesting, because you just gave three examples. With the chepsa and with the gabra and the chepsa, and the gabra there is a din of b'diavad, and by the chepsa there's no din of b'diavad. It's always
right. In other words, the measurement of the chepsa that's royal and mitzvah is the l'chatchil of the gabra. In other words, whether you l'maisa do exactly what you have to do with all the trimmings and all the embellishments, that's one issue. But at least the cheft has to be raw, it has to lend itself to that embellishment. So the ner chanuk has to lend itself to that pirsum ha-nes of a half hour. L'maisa, you weren't mefarsim the nes for a half hour, because pirkomsa ain't zokakla. The shofar itself lends itself to the kiyum tefillah. The Rambam says, kofu fizli kuva, even though you're tokel ashir, you don't have tefillah in mind. And a matzah has to lend itself to te'ima in order to be called a matzah for this mitzvah, even though, as far as the gavra is concerned, he may or may not be toying the matzah. But the cheft has to be roy le'mitzvah. Go ahead, David.
With the shofar, isn't the mitzvah to listen or to hear the shofar? The mitzvah is to hear the shofar. So why would it matter if it's bent or straight? If we're hearing the sound of the animal horn, the shofar, what's the issue if it's bent or straight?
Every mitzvah has two parts to it. It has the action and the object. And you have to take a certain object. There are halachas that are conditions that are qualified when the object is roy, and then you have to do a certain action. So the object called the shofar is only called the shofar of mitzvah, so if it has this element of tefillah built into it. And Chazal established that if it's kaf of kol kamen the kai finishes tvei daitin tvei, then it's a chefzim a shofar as far as the mitzvah is concerned. I want to give one more example. The Mishnah at the very beginning of the third parak of Sukkah establishes that lulav hayovesh pasul. And Rashi says, "Dichsiv zekeli ve'anveim." So everybody and their uncle asks the question, what do you mean zekeli ve'anveim? Zekeli ve'anveim is the source for hider mitzvah. That's not a pasuk in lulav. You know, the parasha lulav is the parasha's emor. It doesn't say zekeli ve'anveim in emor. It says in Bishala. But the answer is that according to Rashi, a lulav hayovish is pasul because it has no potential for zekeli ve'anveim. Meaning zekeli ve'anveim would enhance the mitzvah, and as far as the gabra is concerned, the more he's mahadur the mitzvah, the greater the embellishment to the mitzvah, the greater the mitzvah is. But he can be yotze his mitzvah mida agbe nafik be, as soon as he lifts up the dalet minim, there was no hidur. But the cheftza has to lend itself to hidur. When do I define it as a lulav, says Rashi, when it could lead to zekeli ve'anveim? But if it's yovish and it doesn't have the possibility of zekeli ve'anveim, then it's not a lulav at all.
What does yovish mean, please?
Dry. Sorry, I'm sorry to point that out. We have a similar concept, I think, in kodshim. There's something called in kodshim, this is the ikar of the avodas hakorban, is called zrikas hadam. Now the dam has to be liquid. If it congeals, that's called dam shem nikrash. Now, if you don't continuously stir the dam and it becomes dam shem nikrash, then it's possible. And the question is why? After all, in certain cases, maybe the Kohen could be Yotze without Zrika. Again, for that we'd have to learn Kodshin. But the Cheft of the Dam has to lend itself to Zrika. Once it becomes Karush, and its Mufka is completely excluded from Zrika, then it becomes a Cheft of Apostle. So again, even as far as the Maisa Gavra is concerned, maybe we could establish a Hechsher Karma with a Kapora even without the actual Zrika. But the Cheft of the Dam has to lend itself to Zrika. And if it doesn't lend itself to Zrika because it's Karush, then the Cheft itself is possible. You find something very similar, not in terms of Cheftza versus Maisa Gavra, but Gavra versus Maisa Gavra. This is fascinating. For example, in the mitzvah of Chalitza, you need Kriyas HaParsha. So there are two parts of the mitzvah of Kriya, of Chalitza. One is to be Cholitz the Nal, and the other is to read the Parsha, the Ein, Yivami, blah, blah, blah. And the Gemara says that an Elam, who's a mute, is possible a Chalitza. But the Gemara also says that im chalatz velo kara yatsa, the chalitza is meaningful even if there was no kriya. And yet, paradoxically, an ilam is possible a chalitza. How do you justify that? An ilam is someone who cannot speak, but you just finished telling me that speaking is not indispensable. You can do away with it. But the answer is the gavra has to be royal a kriya. And if the gavra is an ilam, it doesn't have the potential for kriya, then it's completely excluded. So this principle, which applies in many different sugyos in Shas, is a very key, you know, we're looking for keys to Shas, this is excellent, it's called kol aroy lebila, ein bila makevespo. So you could have a mincha, a korban mincha, that you fill it up all the way to the top, in such a way that you can't do blila because it's going to spill over. Okay, but yet, if you had room for the blila, but you didn't do the blila, you would yotze the mincha without blila. But that's because it's royal blila. You could do the blila, but if it gets to the point where you can't do the blila, then the cheft itself is excluded. Okay, that's Hakofa Aleph for today. Now, I wanted to discuss with you a concept which Rav Soloveitchik develops in great detail in a kuntres here for Masechta Nedarim. And that's a sugya daf zayin about hatfasa b'tzedakah. which means the following, that if I designate these coins for tzedakah, I raise selah zu tzedakah, and then I or somebody else takes another selah and says harei zu kizu, then the second selah is now tzedakah. It's tzedakah money. And this is what we spoke about earlier, I think it was a week or two ago, about the concept in the Nedarim of Hatfasa. Because Neder is in the Chefetz. And now, if you have a Chefetz, which is a Cheftza Disura, I can be Makfis from one Chefetz to the other. So Rav Soloveitchik was very bothered by this Sugya of Tzedakah, because he said that he doesn't understand. Tzedakah is a chovas gavra. A person takes upon himself a pledge, a vow to give tzedakah. It should be more similar to a shvuah than to a neder. So the Rav said, and I think he quoted his grandfather at the time, that Reb Chaim used to say that there's something called a cheftza shel tzedakah. And we find this in Peah, and in other Matnas Aniyim, that the mamon itself, the ownership of the value, in other words, the value of the object, its market value, is owned by whom? By the Aniyim. What do you mean the poor people? Which poor person? You haven't yet designated or given it to anyone. It's sort of like Truma. Truma, before you give it to the Kohen, is mamon shevet kahuna. And that mamon later on has to be designated for a specific kohen, but in the meantime it belongs collectively to all the kohen. So too in the case of mamon shel aniyim, matnas aniyim engenders a hefta shel mamon shel aniyim, and now it belongs to all the aniyim. Later on I'll designate one particular ani. So in this kuntres, which is published here in the sefer called Rishimos Shiurim al Masechta Nedarim, he has a number of different nafkaminas that are dependent upon this concept called Cheftza shel mamon. And it becomes mamon aniyim. He says the following. What's unique about mamon aniyim? Let's say, for example, I would have a case of a suffolk. I don't know if I'm chayev in stokim, I'm chayev in peyor, if I'm not chayev. Normally, in Hilchas Mamonos, we have a principle called what? Hamotzi Mechavero of Haraya, otherwise known as Sofik Mamon Lekula, meaning until you prove that I owe you that money, I don't have to give you the money. Rav Soloveitchik said that by virtue of this new status, this new halachic entity called a Cheftza shel Mamon Aniyim, therefore, even in the case of a suffolk, you're going to have to give over the money. You can't say, well, hamotzi mechavero all of harai. And this is based on a Ramban. Again, it's a long kuntres here. Where does he have the Ramban? That even though generally mamon hamutal b'suffolk is lekula, is hamotzi mechaver v'haraya, but here there's a special din gzela with regard to mamon shel tzedakah, mamon shel aniyim, and that special din gzela is treated like any suffik d'oraisa, suffik isur, and therefore you go lechumra, and you would have to give up the money. Maybe as we go along, I'll find for some reason.
Mamon aniyim have other advantages in halakha, supposedly.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can come up with a few advantages in this concept called mamon aniyim. It's a chefta difnei atzmo. It's a separate chefta called mamon aniyim. So one din is that you're going to have to give it over in the case of suffer. What's the next din?
What about if you want to borrow money from it with ribus?
That I don't know. I don't know enough about ribbis. I would assume that the laws of ribbis would apply here. He says, the Gemara derives the halacha of tzedakah from beficha zut tzedakah. And he says, beficha zut tzedakah is not just the Chovas Gavra, Elohu Din Shal Chal Hashem Tzedakah V'Chefetza. And the Tzedakah is now Chal in the Chefetza, and it's a different status in the Chefetza itself. And he has a whole piece here in which he compares and contrasts what he calls a Shibud Chov. A Shibud Chov means that I'm obligated, I have a debt to pay you up, but that's my personal debt. It's a Dover Shein Bo Mamash. Dover Shein Bo Mamash is another phrase to describe a Chovas Gavra. Dover Shein Bo Mamash. But in the case of Tzedakah, once you vow or pledge to give Tzedakah, then it becomes almost like Hevesh. It becomes Mamon Shel Tzedakah in the Cheft itself. It's not like a Shibud Chov, but it's inherent in the Cheft. And the whole Din of Hatfasa is based on this concept of a cheftza shel mamon aniyim. In shibudei mamon, for example, since the davar shein bo mamish, you can't talk about or even imagine any sort of hatfasa. Those are shibudim. Those are obligations, debts that you have to pay. But here, the debt is chal in the cheftza shel mamon, and the mamon that you designated for tzedakah now takes on a different status, and therefore you could be matfis from one object onto the Cheftza Shel Tzedakah.
Is that Mammon itself? It doesn't have a Mammon should impact it. In other words, if they have Tzedakah money that's in a Pushka and you want to trade it for other money, are you allowed to do it, or you say no?
Right now, we're saying it's Mammon Aniyim, so I don't know.
You can't touch it.
Yeah, I don't know how, unless there's some sort of an umdana that the aniyim, you know, collectively would be mochel and say, you know, give us a different piece of moment to replace the first one. Maybe you could have such a thing, but as far as this moment is concerned, it's already considered moment aniyim.
That means you can't put it into the bank. You put it in the bank, they'll give you.
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I would say you could put it in a pikadon in a bank, you know, if they have a deposit, but I don't know about, you know, a milvel otzad, you know, we can't give it away. Okay, I'm not going to go through this whole kuntras. He has pages and pages here on this concept called a cheftza shel mamon in the case of tzedakah. So anybody who wants to go through it, it's over here, it's called Inyan Tzedakah. Now, I wanted to point out here, and Yechiel was very helpful to print out, I couldn't find it, a piece from the Lubavitcher Rebbe for Parshas Noso. And in this piece, the Rebbe discusses the mitzvah of Bekotev Yiso in Parshas Noso. And it's a specific obligation incumbent upon the B'nai Kahas. You know, the Levium were divided up into different groups, three different groups, and they were in charge of Nisias HaKelim. They had to carry the Kelim from place to place. The Shulchan, and the Aron, and the Rios, and so forth and so on. So the Rebbe wants to say the following. That Ikar Mitzvahs Bekotev Yiso Hu B'Nesiyas HaOron. In other words, although there's a general mitzvah that applies to all Klei Migdash, that the Levim, specifically the B'nai Kos, are in charge of carrying them from place to place, but there's a separate unique mitzvah with regard to the Aron. And Chazal derived from the Pasuk Bekotev Yiso. And even though, again, there's the Shulchan, the Menorah, and he has a whole list of Kelim that they have to carry, but the Rambam at the beginning, at the end of Perek Beis of Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, and he says, you'll find this also in the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Shinayin Tes, that there's a special mitzvah of Bekotev Yiso with regard to the Aron. And he gives various nafkaminas here about the mitzvah Yisera of Nesiyas HaOron, how they had to carry it. There's a special halacha here called Ponim, Keneged Ponim. And he goes on to explain the following. He says that with regard to the nesiyah of all kelim, there the mitzvah is a chovas gavra, and basically that's the obligation of the Levi to carry it from place to place. However, in the case of Aaron, there's a special chiddush in Bekotev Yiso that the mitzvah is not just on the gavra, but it relates to the chefts of the Aaron. The Aaron itself has the mitzvah. And I'm trying to look here to see if I can find an afkimina, but here at this point, he goes into discussions based on the Arizal. Now, once you quote the Arizal, I'm out of here, because that's already what we call Pnimius HaTorah, and honestly, I have no experience with Pnimius HaTorah. In any event, he says the key of the Aron is that the Aron has to be in a special makom. It always has to be in a special makom. And when the Torah says Bakotev Yiso, it means that for the purpose or during the duration of carrying the Aron from place to place, the makom Aron is the Kotev. And that's why the Torah goes out of its way as a special mitzvah of Bakotev Yiso that doesn't apply to Nesias Shara Kelim. So whenever, in any method that the Kohen uses to transport the menorah, the shulchan, from place to place, that's fine. But in the case of the Aron, it's got to be Bekotev. Again, there are all sorts of miracles that went on, but at the end of the day, the Aron always has to be on the Kotev. And he says the reason for that is because that's a kiyum in the, he calls it the Cheftza Shel Aron. So if anybody has the time to go through this, I thought that was pretty interesting.
There's no sort of link with what we discussed yesterday about Hatzot Shabbos, where you put something on somebody's... I'm saying that we talked about the mocha, was the mocha in the kosev, or...
Correct. We spoke about Akiras Gufo, and the Makar Chaim, the Makar Aluch, excuse me, of Rabbi Yomzul, he wanted to suggest that maybe you never actually change the location of the object that you're carrying on your back, and it always was on your back, and that's not called a Maisa Akira. So to hear the Levi is in charge of taking the Aron from one makom to another makom, but it always remains in its makom, as opposed to the other kelim where you're carrying the kelim. Okay.
By the Aron, there's also this a special fact that they says Aron no says no
sir. Right.
That he gets into this with the Arizal. I got a little lost on it.
But
I give it to you here so that you'll Mishem enlighten us about how
it
that
makes
works.
Makes sense to say it's that's the chovas on the chetza rather than on the gavra, because the chetza was called.
Right. It's interesting. Okay, now what I want to study with you here, I have one copy, you can make other copies if you like, is the Brisker Rav with regard to the mitzvah of Pitum Aktoris. The Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Ches from Klei HaMikdash, Potma Ma'at Ma'at B'maskuta Kshera. Now the Pitum Aktoris, which is meant to prepare the Ktores for the Haktorah, can be done, says the Rambam, piecemeal. And he does a little bit in the morning, he does a little bit Bein Arbayim, and that's fine. However, the Mishnah Lamech points out that Lechora, this is against the Sugya increases on Daf Vav. The Sugya increases is addressing a different case, not Pitum Aktores, but the case of a person who's a Yochid and he's Mefatim, you know, he knows the recipe of the Ktores, and he makes it on his own, and the Torah says in such a case, he's Chayiv Karis. And then again, he made it on his own for his own personal purposes. He's not giving it over to the Tzibur. And there the Gemara says that he's not chayev ad shi'efate mona sholem. Mona is a certain measurement, and that's the shiur, that's the minimum volume for which he's chayev. And Rashi points out there in Masechta Krisa that we have a hekesh between Hechsher HaKtores and the Iser of Misha Mefatim Es HaKtores as a Yochid. In other words, there are two sides to the same coin. There's a mirror image here between two halachas. The Hechsher HaKtores and someone who replicates the process of Hechsher HaKtores for his own personal purposes, and he's Chayev Kares for that. And therefore, since the mitzvah of HaKtores HaKtores is a mana, so too the violation of Nisu Kares and someone who makes it for his own purposes is also a mana. And yet the Rambam says that you could be mafate much smaller amounts, the shachris ubein arbayim, which means that as far as pitum haktoris is concerned, creating the ktoris litzibur for the purpose of the tzibur, lo be'inan mana sholem, we don't need a complete mana at any particular time, but a smaller amount, which the Rambam calls a pras, is enough. And if that be the case, then someone who's mafateim a ktores for his own purposes, and his chayv kores should apply, even if he, according to the Rambam, even if he does small amounts. And yet the Gemara establishes that he's only chayv if he does a mana. So let's just summarize the question of the Brisker Rav, which is really the question of the Mishnah Melech. How could the Rambam tell us that for pitum ktores, in creating the ktores, you can do it piecemeal with small amounts, when the Gemara says that as far as someone who violates the Chiyuv Kares by creating his own homemade, home-purposed Ketores, he's got to do a mana, which is a certain volume, bivasachas, in one fell swoop. And as Rashi points out in the Sechta Krisis on Daf Vav, we have an equation between Hechsher HaKtores and the violation of the Iser Kares if the Yochid makes his own private Ketores.
You said it was piecemeal. What did you mean by that?
The Rambam says he makes a small amount in the morning, another small amount in the afternoon.
He makes a full small amount. Not he just.
But never a month.
There's nothing. Right. He put a couple of the salmon in, but not all of them. And then he came back and he put some more in. And then he put some. You don't mean that. You mean
no,
he made an actual.
Yeah, he has a small portion of the ketores.
Maybe some of this salmon, and then he wouldn't be able.
Yeah.
So it is kamaskuta.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Exactly.
So maybe he took all 11.
Yeah,
maybe
that's
half
right.
Month.
I wasn't sure what you were saying.
And if you take a look, if you have the copy of the Brisker Rav on the bottom right, I really want to get to this paragraph of Yasher Nira, but just to take a look at the bottom right, he says that the Rambam Perek Beis Milchus Klei HaMikdash Halacha Tes writes that he's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Asiyas HaKtores Be'achadasar Samamonim Lefi Mishkolos Elu Afal Pishlo Asa Kulo Elchetzio O Shlisho. Then he talks about someone who does it for his own purposes, and he's Chayev Kores, even though he only did a certain fraction.
Shlisho is
says the Brisker Rav Tzorach Iyun Lomalo Hizkir Dieno Chayev Ashiyafate Mana. Why does the Rambam completely omit the fact, the condition, that he's only Chayev Kares if he was Mefatim a Mana? And the reason for that is that just like the Hechsher is a Mana, so too the Chayev Kares, if he's Mefatim for himself, is a Mana. Ubedivrei HaRambam Eino Mevur Klal Shir L'Chayev Pituma. The Rambam Lo Nokat Shi'ura Klal Bazeh. How could that be? If there's a requirement of Hechsher, that the mitzvah of ktoris can only be fulfilled with a mana, then the violation of the Issa Kares can only be if he does a mana, because we have an equation between the two. So now I'm up to the paragraph Asher Nira. If you have that, John, you have that? He says that Nira Muchach Umevur Shitas Aram of the Sfirle Debi Emes Rak Le'inyan Hechshera de Ktoris. Ain shir klal lepitum haktores. In other words, in the process of creating ktores, there's no shir. And yochol lefateim os kama shiyirtze pras Shachris pras ben arbayim. So where is there a shir pras? He says the shir itself is rak le'inyan haktarasa bilvat avalo le'inyan pituma. He says there are two dimensions to k'toras. One is pituma k'toras, meaning creating the k'toras, that's asiya, and then there's also the haktaras haktaras, which on a daily basis was done in the Beis Hamikdash when they burnt the k'toras on the Mizbeach. And just fast forwarding a little bit, he says the following: kol etzem shir zed de pras. When we talk about a shir of pras, be yisoda dino eno din shir karbon kimo isaron. Right, in the karbon itself, you need a certain amount, a certain volume, and that's called an isaron in the case of mincha. You have a mincha, and also here in the case of k'toras, you may say, "Well, I need a mana." He says, "Ela kol atzmo v'dino hu bekiyum hamitzvah shal k'toras." Pras shachris pras bein arbayis v'shiyura de mitzvahu. So Rav said, where's he putting the emphasis on the gavra or the cheftza? When he says that this is a requirement of the mitzvah, in other words, the kohen can only be mekayim the mitzvah if he does a total amount of haktara of a mana's worth. That's on the gavra. No, we're talking about the mitzvah as the shear of mana is on the chiyuv and kiyuv mitzvasa. I'm adding of the gavra. Aval eino shear b'karban atzmo. There's no shear in the carbon itself, like we find in other karbanos. We have a shear in the carbon. You need isar and lemincha, and all sorts of other shearim in karbanos. Here, the shear is not in the carbon itself, in the k'toras itself. The k'toras itself remains a k'toras, even if it's smaller than a mana. But as far as the kohen is concerned, when he does the maisa haktara, and now he fulfills his chovas gavra, he needs to what? He needs to be makter at least a mana's worth. V'davar zeh, yesh lomar miloshon Rambam, perek gimel hilchos tefilin u'sof halacha beis, kama maktir v'imena b'chol yom. It's very interesting. For the first time, the Rambam addresses the issue of a shear in k'toras. Never in Klei HaMikdash does he mention a word about the shear of the k'toras, how much k'toras you have to have. All of a sudden, hilchos tefilin u'sof in this amount that he has to have in order to fulfill his mitzvah. Harei, says the Brisker of the Ika Shir Shal Mono Pras, who the Indian Chiyuv Shal Kol Yom, Chiyuv Agavra, Velo Shehudin Bekarban Al Etzem Achefza Dak Torres. Now, as far as the Chefza of the Torres is concerned, there are no dinim of shiurim. That's why the Rambam completely omits the shiur in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. To be etzem achefzah shal haktoras lo nemru shum shiurim klal b'toras karbon shalah. It's not like other karbonos where you have a shiur in the chefzah shal karbon. Here there is no shiur in the chefzah karbon. That's why the Rambam omits it. Rak the yesh din midinei shiurim shal kiyum mitzvah. There's a din shiur of mana in the kiyum mitzvah, meaning the maisa gavra. The kevet shekain svile la Rambam. To the Indian Maisa Hapitum, Lo Shaichi Hani Shiure Klal. In other words, when we're talking about creating the k'toras, correct? That's already a preparatory stage for the Chefta of the Karbon. And he says, as far as the Chefta of the Karbon, there is no Shir. Therefore, the Rambam in the Maisa Hapitum has no Shir. The came on the Yisodo Enemy Din Shiure a Karbon, Kmo Kala Shirim Shenever Kobonos, Kigoni Sara de Mincha Vechadome, Yaku Shir Ba Mitzvah, Kama Yakter Vimeno Vikaya Mitzvaso, Al Kain, therefore, Ein Zeno Gea Rakla Maisak Tor Bilvat. That is only relevant to the Maisak Torah. But it has nothing to do with creating the k'toras. Lo la siya dida, creating the k'toras. Because as far as creating the k'toras is concerned, any small amount of k'toras is valid and qualifies as a k'toras. V'klishores yuchal kadesh gam bepochos mizeh. And a klishores has the power to mekadesh that which is within it, even if it's less than the shir. So I think this is a beautiful example of Gavra Chefta, where the shear of Bana in Ktores is only as far as the Chovas Gavra and his Kiyum HaMitzvah in the Ktor itself, but as far as the Chefta Shal Korban is concerned, there is no shear. And there are two Nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is Pitum, the person who makes the Ktores, he doesn't have to make any sort of shear. He's just entitled, obligated to create a Heftzeshel Ktoris, and there is no shear in the Heftzeshel Ktoris.
So the flip side is
the Avera, the one who's Chayv Koris for imitating the Ktoris, he too is going to be Chayv even if there is no shear. Anytime you see in the Mishnah a shear of Ktoris, like a Bona, Prasvoker, Prashachris, that's only as far as the Kiyum Gavra, the Mitzvah Sakoi. He's not Makayim his Mitzvah until he's knocked through a full Ktoris is worth. But if you ask me what has a chaloshen ktores in Chefzo, what is the entity of ktores? Then there's no shear of a mona. And if for the Rambam Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, when he's talking about creating the ktores, or someone who illegitimately creates the ktores and usurps the creation of the ktores, the Rambam doesn't mention a word about the shear of a mona.
But doesn't it mention via lo shamanim?
Again, it's all in the Maisak Ktorah. As far as the Chomus Gavra is concerned, that's what he has to do.
But that's in the
Sia. That's what you have to. So if you get a chance to go through this inside, I was excited about this because I thought it was a beautiful parallel to what we discussed about a week ago, with regard to the Soria Mishtaleh. That as far as the Kohen is concerned, once the Ish Iti, who's representing the Kohen Gadol, has already brought the goat out to the Midbar, then the Kohen has already fulfilled his Chovas Gavra. And then, as it did in the Chefzah, needs to be thrown off the tzuk. In the Brisker Rav, it goes the other way around. Meaning, you can have a case where, as far as the Chefzah is concerned, there's a very minimum shear, no shear at all. But as far as the Chovas Gavra is concerned, it goes way beyond that, and he has to be maktir a pras. We have halacha of machsheves lishma in two areas. One is in creating a get has to be written lishma, and another is in kodshim. And there too, the kohen has to shecht the korban lishma, which means l'shem zevach and l'shem bailim and so forth and so on. Yet we find a very interesting fundamental distinction between the two. In the case of a get, the Mishnah says, I'm sorry, start again. In the case of a karmon, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Zvachim, Stavan Lishma, which means that if a Kohen shefts the animal, the karmon, and he has nothing in his brain is completely empty, devoid of any kavana, then the karmon is kosher. We never found a parallel halacha in Ksivas Aget. On the contrary, in Ksivas Aget, the Ksiva has to have an explicit, positive kavana l'shem baal l'shem isha. So the Rav explained as follows. L'shma in Get is only a Maisa Gavra. That the Ksiva has to be a Ksiva l'shma. Masha Enkin, in the case of Karban, the l'shma is inherent in the Cheftzishal Karban. The carbon itself, machmas kedushaso, is lishma. Here there's only a din that if the coin has a machshava shalo lishma, is a machshava shalo lishma, is a machshava poselis. But if he has nothing in his mind whatsoever, the carbon itself, bikdushas achemtsu shal carbon, is koveya the lishma. So when the lishma comes from, is generated by the chefta, then if he has nothing in mind, we can apply the principle of starving lishma. We think that Stam and Lishma means that Mistam he has a Svar Lishma. He's probably thinking Lishma. If he says nothing to the contrary, we assume he had a Machshavas Lishma. No.
Like Safa Likula type of concept.
Right. Likula. We can assume that he had the right Machshav. Like some people want to say that if he had Kavana in Avos, the first Bracha, then he yotes in the entire Shmona Esrei, even if he gets distracted, because somehow the kavana of Omid with Neshchina for the first bracha travels through the entire Shmona Esrei. But here, in the case of Kodshim, we're not saying that it's a machsheves lishma on the part of the gavra that changes the nature of the karma. in Get, it's the Machshavas Lishma, the Gavrin is Ksiva itself, that Ksiva Lishma in Gen is the Lishma in the Get. But in the case of Kodshim, once he was Magdish the Zemach, then it's already Omed Lishmita and Lizrika and so forth, all the Avodos. Therefore, the Machshavas Lishma, Lishem Zemach, is inherent in the Chefetz Shel Karba. As long as he, the Kohen, doesn't mess it up. You know, if a Kohen has the wrong machshava, that's a machshava haposel.
But in Zvachim, there are several lishmas that it considers. One is lishma of the baal, and one is the lishma of the type of korban it is, whether it's a chatas or it's a whatever it is. Those all follow the same rule that what you're saying?
I think so. If you take a look at the first Mishnah in Zvachim, there is such a halach of stam and lishma, and that's machshir the karm. In the Shiurim and Gittin, the Rav has a chiddush with regard to the din of get. The Gemara establishes in Masech the Gittin that if you write a get on mechuba lekarka, so you write, let's say for example you have a stump, a tree stump, and you write the get on the tree stump, then even if you cut off the stump afterwards, then it's not kosher because it's called mechusar ktsitsa. The Torah says that you create a get when it's mechusar nesina, which means that all you need is ksiva and then nesina. But if you need ksiva and after the ksiva there'll be a ktsitsa and then you do the nesina, that's possible. And Rav Soloveitchik was wondering, what's the nature of the psul? Is it the fact that there's a change, you know, the chefta of the get changes from its state in ksiva to its state in nesina, because the ksiva was on mechubra lekarka, the nesina was on tolush after it was removed, and that process through ktsitsa changes the chefts of the get. And as a result, the chefts of the get is not the same in nesina as it was in ksiva. And the Torah requires v'kosav v'nosan. And v'kosav v'nosan means that the get that you write on is the same get that's being delivered to the Isha. Here, it's a different Chefetz Shel Get. Or, the Rav said, there's another way of learning the Gemara, that it's the Maisa Ktsitsa, that itself passels the get. So the Rav went very far and worked very hard to prove that the Psul of Mechusa Ktsitsa has nothing to do with the Maisa Ktsitsa, the Gavra, but rather it has to do with the change in the status or in the nature of the Chefetz of this Chefetz Shel Get.
So doesn't that make a difference then, that whether the Nesina to the Isha was before the Ksitsa or after the Ksitsa? What if it was before the Ksitsa?
Well, he has to lift up, whatever he does to lift up the stump, you know, and remove it in order to do an asino, that's called ktsitsa. I don't, a ktsitsa doesn't have to mean literally that he takes an axe and he cuts down the, you
know,
the tree.
I mean that, in other words, if the ksiva was done on a mechuber and the asino was done on a mechuber also, then...
Well, I don't know if there is such a thing as the asino on mechuber. The asino has had to be l'tok yada. And it can't be any strings attached. Even if there's meshicha b'yada, it's also not an asino. So the nesina by definition has to take place with a tolush, with something that's not attached, and yet the ksiva was on attached. So the Rav wants to say that the psul that the Gemara derives from the kasa of the nasan is not in the maisa ktsitsa. You know, it says nisha eino mechusar ela ksiva unesina yatsu zesh mechusar ksiva ktsitsa unesina. So you could say that what the Gemara has in mind is that the Maisa Ktsitsa wedges between the Ksiva and the Nesina. The Rav wants to suggest another possibility in the Shiurim, and he wanted to say that the problem is not the Maisa Ktsitsa, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that the Cheftz is not the same Cheftz as the Get. There's a Cheftz of the Get of Nesina, which is something that's Tolush, and then he wrote it on that which is mechuba, the difference between tolus and mechuba is so radical and so dramatic that it makes it into a shinu cheftza. And what we're learning from v'nasan and from v'kasa and v'nasan is we need a cheftza shel ged of ksiva and the sina v'yachad, one and the same. Oh. The Rav has a piece on Matnas Aniyim, which he published back in the day in a journal called Hapardes, if you've ever heard of it. And posthumously, they collected all of the Rav's different contributions to Hapardes, and a few from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and other journals as well, under the title Chidushei Hagram VeHagrid. And he has a piece on Matnas Aniyim. And he says the following. In Matnas Aniyim, which means Leket Shikhon Peh, at what point do I become obligated in Matnas Aniyim? After what's called the Maisa Ktsira. Once it is cut down, but not before that. Before that, it's called Kama, Kuf Mem Hei, and then it's attached to the ground. There's no Chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim. But the Ktsir itself engenders a Chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim. However, there's another precondition. The Ktsira has to be on a Cheftish al Pri. Now, there are various stages in the development of a fruit from the time it takes root. And at some point, but not before that point, it becomes a pri. And once it's a pri, then the Maisa Ktsir is Machayev in Matnas Aniyim. So at what point is it called a pri? So the Rav wanted to suggest that there's something called Bosar. Again, I can't translate this. I'm not even sure if anybody could translate this into English. But anyway, there's a conceptual shiur or category for a shiur of peya of pri, which is called bosar. So once the pri reaches the state of bosar, and then you cut it down, then there's a chiyuv of trumas. Of matnas aniyim. Now, the Rama, when he talks about Tvua, again, until now we've been speaking about Peros, the Rambam says that if he cuts down the Tvua before it reaches Havas Shlish, then he's Potur from Matnas Aniyim. So the Rav was bothered by that, because he felt that if the Shir and Pri is Bosar, then in Matnas Aniyim, in Tvua, the parallel to Pri, to this Bosar status, might even come about before Shlish. So why does Rambam say that he's not Chayev if he cuts it down before Havas Shlish? And the Rav wanted to suggest, and he brought some rayas for this, that the Machayev of Matnas Aniyim is Ktsira. And there's no ktsira on less than, in other words, in grains, there's no ktsira on the stage that's before Havas HaShlish. So again, even if as far as the shame pre is concerned, it's less than Havas HaShlish, it's not inferior, it's not less than Bosar, but nevertheless, in the case of Matnas Aniyim on Tvua, on the Chameshes Minei Dagon, you need a ktsira, and before Havas HaShlish, it's not called a ktsira. And how does the Rav know that before Havas Shlish it's not cut, it doesn't qualify as a ktsira? This he derives from a sugya in Masechta Menachos Daf Ayin Aleph. The Gemara there speaks about ktsira kodem ha'omer. In other words, according to one of the Tanoim, the iser of ktsira before the omer, because the omer has to be reishis ktsirchem, does not apply before Havas Shlish. So it means that if I were to cut down Tvua Min HaChadosh, before it reaches Havas Shlish, even if I'm designating for Achilas Adam, because Fachil's Behema, we cut down something very early that's called Shachas. But anyway, even if I do it for Adam, nevertheless, I didn't violate the Isa Ktsira of Kodem La'omer. Why? Because the Shem Ktsira depends upon Havas Shlish. And with regard to the Shir Ktsira, just like in the case of Omer, there's an Isa Ktsira. But that can only apply after Havas Shlish, because any Ktsira before Havas Shlish is not a Ktsira. So too, as far as the Chiv Matnas Aniyim of Leket Shekampeya, you need a Ktsira. And the same Ktsira that's Osir in Omer is Mechayev in Matnas Aniyim. And just like in Omer, you're not Chayev for a Ktsira before Havas Shlish, so too in the Chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim, you're not Chayev before the Ktsira of Havas Shlish. So why does the Rambam paskin that Kotzar Kodem Havas Shlish Potter to be Matnas Aniyim? That's because it's not called a Ktsira. Ktsira Kodem Havas Shlish is Potter from Matnas Aniyim because we don't have the Maisa Ktsira Hamachayev. As far as the Heftz is concerned, even if it's less than Havas Shlish, the Heftz condition, that element, is not Mufka from Matnas Aniyim. In other words, we said that there are two conditions in order to be Machayev you in Matnas Aniyim. You need a Maisa HaGavra, you need a Maisa Ktsira, and you also need the Heftz of the Pri. When the Rambam says that if you cut down your tefuah before Havas Shlish, you're not chayev in Matnas Aniyim, the reason is not because it's lacking in the chefza and the status of a Shem Pri. Even before it reaches Havas Shlish, it still could have the status of a Pri, and you have to know all the shirim and what is Bosar. But nevertheless, you're potter here because there's no tnai of Ktsira. And one of the conditions that are necessary to generate the chiyuv of Matnas Aniyim is the Maisa Ktsira. Says Rav Soloveitchik, Mevur, Lefi Zeh, Mevur, Divrei HaRambam, Behilchos Matnas Aniyim, Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin. What does the Rambam say? Shekosav HaRambam, L'gabi Kol HaPeros, Dekodem HaVoa Shlish Pturim. The Rambam writes that all peros before Havas Shlish are pturim from Matnas Aniyim, even though if you compare that to the Rambam Hilchos Maisus, for example, Perek Beis Halacha Hey, there the Rambam seems to differentiate between Tvua and Zesim and Shar Peros Ha'ilam. That in Tvua and Zesim you need Havas Shlish, but in other peros you don't even need Havas Shlish. That distinction doesn't appear in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, because Le'inyan Matnas Aniyim Din Havas Shlish Eino Din Mesuyam Bishir Shal HaChefetz Shal HaPri, because again, if it was Chefetz Shal HaPri, then even before Havas Shlish, in certain cases like Shar Peres Elon, there would be a Shem Pri. El Dinu Mitzad HaKtzira, that you need a Ktzira to be Machayv in Matnas Aniyim. Uchol Peres HaElon Nemar Shi'ura Behavas Shlish. As far as Ktsir is concerned, this Havas Shlish is a precondition for the Maisa Ktsir. That's why we said before that if he cuts down from a Chadash before the Omer is brought, and the Tvur that he cut down has not reached the level of Havas Shlish, he hasn't violated the Isa of Ktsir before the Omer, because Ktsir requires Havas Shlish. Uli'in Matnas Aniyim Gam Kodim Havas Shlish And here the Rav wants to drop a bomb. And he wants to say the following. In Matnas Aniyim, we have a halacha that Hefker is potter. So imagine if I own a field, and then I'm mafkir the field, then I'm potter for Matnas Aniyim, even if I go ahead afterwards and I'm zocha, because Hefker is a potter. So the Rav says that the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim indicates that even in the pre that's before Havas Shlish, nevertheless Hefker is a poter, and that Hefker can be Mechal even before you cut it down, as long as it has a Shem pre. So the Rav asked, I don't get it. He's not chayev in Matnas Aniyim until he cuts it down after Havas HaShlish. How then could Hefker be a poter even before it's Avos Shlish. So the Rav answers that Hefker is a poter if the Shem Pri is there in the Heftzah Shel Pri, that could be Machayev you in Matnas Adiyim. However, the problem is that the Chiyuv hasn't evolved yet because I need another additional condition to be met, and that's the Maisa Ktsira. But as far as the Chal Shem Hefker is concerned, Hefker could be a poter even before the Ktsira HaMachayev. So the Ktsira HaMachayev is going to have to wait and pushed off until after Avos Shlish. But as far as the poter is concerned, as soon as the fruits reach the level, the stage of Bosar, Chal Ptura Behefker. That's already a din in the Heftza Shel Pri, in the Maisa Gavra of Ktsira. I had one more piece here. Let's see if I can just find it. Oh. Yesterday we discussed the Chiddush of Rabbi Aryeh Leib Malin. Today I want to add the Chiddush of Rabbi Soloveitchik, which I think is very similar and perhaps even a mirror image of Rabbi Aryeh Leib. The case is the following. A person drinks shemen, and normally you would not drink shemen. Shemen is something that you add to food. You don't drink it straight, right? Straight oil. Highly unrecommended, if you can put it that way. So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Ches, Halacha Beis, that Mevarchim al Shtias Shemen Shahakol Nia Bidvar. So the Rav raises the following question. What is the nature and the Mechayev of Birchas Hanen? Is it the Hanos HaGavra, or is the Bracha Chal on the Heftza? He says the following. The Rambam establishes a fundamental difference between Birchas Shahakol and all other Birchas Hanenim. In the cases of all other Birchas Hanenim, the bracha is chal on the Heftza. It relates to the Heftza. But in contrast, the bracha of Shahakol does not relate at all to the Heftza. It's an all-encompassing bracha. The bracha is on the Hanos HaGavra. And kol shenena al yidei hachila mevorech aleha shahakol. When you want to make a Bar Priya Eitz or a Bar Priya Adama, or any of the other, what we call brachos hamiyuchados, then we need that he's nene from the Heftza in the way that the Heftza is omeid lehano. In other words, I analyze the Heftza and I ask myself, how do you normally enjoy that Heftza? For example, in the case of Shemen, you enjoy the Heftza of the Shemen in a certain way. Let's say, for example, if he's Choshesh Begrono, then maybe he'll swallow the Shemen to help him his voice. And the Rav wants to suggest that if he's drinking the Shemen in a way that's normal to drink the Shemen, then the bracha could be chal on the Heftza of the Shemen because the Heftza is omeid for that Hanoah. And therefore he can make a bar priates. But if he's nene ba'ofen acher, if he enjoys the Heftz in a way that normally that Heftz would not be used, then the bracha is not on the Heftz, but simply on the Hanos HaGavra. And the bracha on Hanos HaGavra, which doesn't relate to the Heftz at all, is Birchas Shahakol. And based on this, the Rav wants to explain not only the Rambam, but also a sugya in the Sech the Brachos on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis with regard to Yerokos She'ein Darkom Lechol Chai. Let's say you have certain vegetables that normally you don't eat them raw, Ella Mivushalim, right? Let's say, for example, cauliflower. Who eats raw cauliflower? I don't know, today maybe they do, but in the old days.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, give me an example of a vegetable that you don't eat raw.
Potato.
Okay, you can't eat a raw potato. I guess somebody could if he had to. So it's not Eino Nechal Chai. So the Gemara says that this is on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis in case of Vorkh, that if he eats it Chai, then he makes a bracha of Shahakol. Or the Gemara Daf Lamed Vav Amid Al says that if he eats kimcha dechita, some sort of flour. Again, I don't know exactly how he's able to tolerate that. He makes the bracha shahakol niyah bidvaro. And the Rif says the reason in these cases that you make a shahakol is because it's ein derech achilasan bekach. In other words, you don't eat a raw potato, you don't eat kemach, and therefore the bracha is reduced to the level of shahakol. So the Rav wants to suggest that why does shahakol work where the other brachas don't work? The other brachas are on the cheftza, and the bracha has to be chal on the cheftza. It can't be chal on the cheftza if you're doing with the cheftza that you're enjoying the cheftza in a way that the cheftza is not derech la'ochla v'kach, it's not omed l'kach. But on the other hand, if you benefit from it, even if the cheftza is not omed l'kach, you had anos agavra, for that you make a bracha of shahakol via bidvaro. And the Rav says that there's a sugya called sisa racha, which is a kind of, this back on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, the other sugya is on Lamed Chesam and Beis, which is a kind of substance that's usually used for a fuah. And therefore the bracha is shahakol. So the Rav asks, so what if it's omid l'refuah? Therefore you should make a shahakol? The answer is because in its original form this cheftza was set or was designated for a certain hadah, and then it would deserve its own bracha pratis, because then the bracha is called the cheftza, but now you're eating it for the purpose of refuah, so that's already ein derech hanasa v'kach. You get a benefit from it because it helps you physically, and therefore you make a shahakol niyah bidvaro. But on the other hand, you cannot make a specific bracha because it cannot be chal lechefza if the chefza is ein oroi, ein oroi. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here, and next time we meet would be next Sunday. I'm thinking that maybe on Sunday I'd like to perhaps give a shiur on derech halimud shel sugyas Chanukah. I don't know. I'm just thinking because Chanukah I think is Tuesday night, so maybe on Sunday we would see if, you know, if we can use as many tools that we've established for the laws of Chanukah. That's what I'm hoping that maybe.